Greetings, I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, online at CFRU.ca, Mixcloud, and YouTube right now, and syndicating across the lands. I am your guardian overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond along the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative styles, and an imaginary anomaly and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome. Hello. Welcome, my good sentries, to an audience in the Observational Tower, the interview performance series I conduct here through the SMK. We are live at the station at CFRU.ca 93.3 FM within our green screen dream machine, streaming live on CFRU's YouTube channel with amazing visuals and gorgeous people. Today, in today's session, I have with me a fellow ambienter, an accomplished, hardworking ambient musician, composer, label manager, a current pinnacle in the ambient music scene in Toronto, Daniel Field, aka Kilometer Club. Yay! Hello, Daniel. I should have you up on the here right now.
Hello, do you hear me?
Oh, kind of.
I can also sort of hear me. Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, there we go. I think the volume's coming up on you now. I'm thankful for you for coming into today's Observational Tower session with me. How are you doing on this fine day?
A sunny day. It's not that cold. Hard to complain. And I'm from Toronto, but I have a soft spot for Guelph. I'm wearing my Hillside shirt representing here.
Yay.
So I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes. Actually, Leo, yes. Thanks for featuring Guelph music community with that shirt. And yes, it is much better. It is starting to feel more like spring now. Slowly. Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
What are we expecting from you today?
Well, as you mentioned, I make ambient music predominantly, and the type of music I make often when I'm composing, when I'm creating, is quite spontaneous. It's a little bit unpredictable. I'll kind of come up with some ideas on the go, and then often I will record direct from an improvisation and then kind of mold that into something I could kind of release or create as a recording. So what I'm doing today is I'm going to do some of those guitar-based improvisations, some very droning pieces that will feature only guitar and manipulation using a series of pedals.
Oh, nice. It's all going to be brand new, like, sounds we're going to be hearing.
Yeah.
You won't even know what will come out of it.
I got some ideas. It's more about, you know, which pedal am I going to hit first, and then sometimes I surprise myself.
Oh, well, that's the best way of making music, I think. It keeps you on your toes.
Exactly. So see what works.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, why don't we leave it to you to start with your first improv session.
Fantastic.
Awesome. So here, to beginning our observational session, audience here, Kilometer Club.
Thank you.
Simply wonderful. That was Kilometer Club here in our audience in the Observational Tower new interview session today. That was really beautiful, Daniel.
Oh, thank you so much.
I know it's an improv, but I had a thought of a title for that improv.
Oh, I'm all ears.
A Drift of Hope.
Ooh, I love that. That reminds me of a few months ago, I wrote into ChatGPT, and I knew one of my previous album names. I'm like, give me some song titles. And some of them were kind of bad. One of them was called The Weight of Thoughts, which I ended up using. But like, if that would have showed up on that, I would have been like, yep, that's it. So I love it. I'm gonna keep that one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Thank you.
Why don't we get into... Actually, I'm quite interested in maybe if you quickly go through the pedals you have currently.
Oh, it's my favorite topic. So in short, a bit of context too. I have played guitar since I was 12, and most of my life I played a lot of acoustic guitar. And so with acoustic guitar, it's great. I have a big, beautiful guitar. I love playing it, you know, sing along. You don't have to worry about pedals. You know, I had a looper at one point, and that was great, but didn't worry about pedals. And then I started getting an Ambient. I'm like, okay, well, now I need some pedals. Mm-hmm. And once you need one pedal, you need 30 pedals. And so I'm down to about 12 pedals. And I think right now I'm really happy. They're attached to a temple board, meaning they're like screwed in and tied, and there's all kinds of cabling underneath. I have a number of different reverb, delay, and looping pedals. Among the main ones, I would say my most recent purchase is one called the Game Changer Audio Plus, and it's like a sustain pedal for a non-piano. I have a couple of things that you heard kind of repeating and looping things. One of them was the Hologram Microcosm. I have a slow reverb. I have a Chase Bliss Mood. I have a few other pedals. But what I also have on my pedal board is what's called the loop switcher. And what it does is it allows me to reorder the pedals kind of on the fly. Like I have to do it in advance and switch it along the go, but it means I'm not stuck to whatever order I originally put them in. And so that's really great for me because it gives me a lot of flexibility to be very creative, to say, okay, if I don't want my next improvisation to sound the same, I'm now setting up almost a whole new pedal board with what I have. But I'm really happy with the way that has worked out. So as far as the composition piece, it's, yes, I'm playing just a few simple notes, but I feel like the work was setting up this pedal board with the loop switcher, with the ability to be flexible and change things around. And so that's where I've kind of put my pedal board. Is almost like that's the main instrument. The notes are secondary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty innovative, the switcher of the pedals. Otherwise, you would need to take time to actually unplug and switch all around, which I would have to do.
Well, and one thing I knew about myself was that I am not an attention to detail person, so I would just have cables and plugs and things everywhere and, you know, duct tape around some of them. I just know that would happen. So I invested in the kind of pedal board where I can do power out from the side and all the cabling underneath. And it took a long time. It's my third iteration of rearranging things, but I'm feeling really happy about where it is right now.
Oh, yeah. Also being able to organize everything that it's clean and nice is also good to go to.
Yeah, that was a big goal, too.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's great. You've been able to create that or this setup for yourself that works.
Yeah, no, I've been very happy with this. It's great.
Awesome. So why don't we now go to my segment that I bring every session, every interview, the light and deep section. So I begin with the deep question. What does it mean to you to be mindful?
To be mindful. Now, it's interesting because I talk about this in my real life. I'm a grade 7 teacher, and so we talk about mindfulness. And I think I know for myself, mindfulness doesn't work of closing your eyes and deep breaths and in that kind of yoga experience. It's finding that space or that place. And for me, it's finding the music that soothes me, finding those songs or sounds that feel comfortable, finding, you know, that record that I listened to when I was first 15 that still resonates with me. That's how I be mindful. It's like, and it can be loud, it can be hectic, and that's what's mindful for me. You know, ironically, as I make calming ambient music, even my own music is not what I associate with mindfulness.
Okay, well, or that's really interesting to think about.
I make it for others.
Nice. So just to expand on that part, so if you're going back to more of like childhood, or like maybe moments of time that, that I guess it's like that have made you develop into who you are right now. How does that come into effect in the present?
I mean, I think for me, music has always been such a crucial part of my life. It was, you know, when I turned around 12, I started playing guitar, and it was like, that was who I am, was. You know, I played in bands because I was a guitarist, and I was a musician, and I kind of ate up all the music around me, and, you know, I found my identity through my music scenes and that. And, you know, and then never, I don't think I ever really wanted to take music as a career, at least post teenagehood. You know, I wanted to be a rock star until I was like, okay, that doesn't make a lot of money, but, you know, like, I'm gonna go to school, I'm gonna become a teacher, and I did, and it's been great. And but like, music has always been there. My wife and our family member, we would play folk songs for fun. Kind of, we got together because of a common interest in making and performing music. And you know, music has always been there in my life as a really important spot. And then, you know, Kilometer Club really came out of the pandemic and some elements of that. So for me, you know, there's this definite through line from kind of my earliest experiences encountering music to now that I see as quite straightforward. And, you know, that has gotten me to here.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I'm that same way, where music has always been in one shape or another important to my development and in my life. So that's very nice to hear that common narrative. So for the light question, and apparently you told me before the interview that this was the harder question for you. What is your favorite planet in the solar system?
What is my favorite planet? You know, I had said this to you before. I'm like, I saw that question, you shared it with me before, and I'm like, it's not an easy question. I'm like, well, I have to have some deep, meaningful response about whatever planet. But I think I came up with the best one that is pretty irrefutable. And the best planet is Earth, because at one point in time, David Bowie lived on it.
Oh.
And I feel like, you know, like, everybody's like, yep, that's sound logic, right? Can't argue with that.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's also my easy way out to be like, I don't remember which planet's which, and I'm like talking about Mercury, but I mean Mars, so.
I was actually thinking about adding that you can't choose Earth,
yeah.
But I'll let this one slide.
Okay, for next time, next artist can't choose Earth, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
I guess for the record, my favorite planet is Saturn.
Okay.
Because I'm now thinking it's like the most fabulous planet with its rings.
That checks out.
Yeah. I'm a very fabulous person.
that makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel, for the light and deep segment. So you've already mentioned a bit about your youth and how music has been a really crucial part of your life. Did you personally become attracted to music, like, way back then?
It's funny. My earliest musical memories were the memories of not really thinking that hard about music. My parents listened to, at the time, I think it was 1050 Chum, was the oldies radio, playing the 50s and 60s music. So I grew up, that was in the car all the time. And I took it all in without realizing it. I don't think I thought about it. And I have this specific memory of a grade 5 field trip. And I don't remember where we were, but there happened to be a piano, and there was a kid that sat down and started playing a piano version of Basket Case by Green Day. And I'm like, oh, that's a good song. I like that. And obviously the instrumental piano version, so it sounds nothing like the real song. And I'm like, oh, what's that song? And I'm like, you don't know Green Day? And I like didn't know any modern artist. I think like the only like modern song I knew at the time was Achy Breaky Heart, which tells you how old I am, obviously. But like, wasn't long before I found kind of the pop radio, the popular music of the time. And, you know, my first two, I think they were tapes, they must have been tapes, were Green Day's Dookie and Ace of Base, The Sign. And so it was that, like, and then from there it was just listening to the radio all the time. You know, I was of that era where, you know, you had to listen to the song you really liked, you had to, you know, have a record, tape recorder and hit record in time, so you had that song. And then into that kind of heavy CD era, as just before, I was looking at all the CDs in the studio here, and I was like, oh yeah, I had that one, because that was my life, was like buying CDs and buying records and intaking as much music as humanly possible.
Awesome. Yeah, I was showing Daniel our CD library. It's all really fantastic, all the CDs we have here.
It really is. It feels like it's not that long ago, but you kind of, you don't know what you got till it's gone. You know, you don't see CDs quite so frequently, especially some from 20 to 25 years ago that are probably at the bottom of people's moving boxes.
Oh, yeah. Well, though lately, well, in the last couple of years, records are coming back, like the vinyl records.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Yeah. Like how, like certain mediums are coming back.
Yeah, they're all cycling. It makes sense.
Yeah. I guess you've mentioned a few inspirations, but what artists, composers, do you draw inspiration from?
It's interesting because it's like if you ask me as like a person who loves music, I'm like, oh, I love The Clash. I love Elvis Costello. I love Tom Waits. I love, you know, a whole bunch of artists where, you know, you see the through points in a lot of like indie and popular music and whatnot. And then when it comes to the ambient side, that element, that was something that I kind of always listened to along the way. And so when I started kind of creating and composing, I was looking for those touch points, different artists that were doing interesting things. And I was like, oh, I can make music that sounds like that. And obviously Brian Eno is that kind of, you know, that's the starting point. That's the launching point. And that's okay. I mean, I think he figured it out. He made some great music, and that's why he's still so beloved. Max Richter, for me, was really, even though I don't think my music sounds at all like his, I think it was his album, The Blue Notebooks, came out at a time. That was my, I always talk about how that was my napping album. I put that on when I needed to nap. And about halfway through the album, there's the sound of seagulls. About 20 minutes in, if I wanted a 20-minute nap, it was perfect because I'd always be woken up by the seagulls. So, like, as far as that ambient element, and then more recently, as I've started to compose, there's been so many artists out there that have been so inspiring to me, and it's like, you know, I'm hearing what they're doing, and I'm like, could I do something that sounds as, like, resonant to that, as powerful? And I'm thankful that, like, we're in an ambient era where we're kind of almost at a renaissance where there is so much great music out there that I can, like, generate ideas from, pick the brains of others by listening.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I do agree with you about this ambient renaissance. Like, I'll say now I want to thank you so much for including me in so many of the Toronto ambient shows as of late in the last few months.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's opened my eyes to, like, other like-minded, like sounding artists.
Well, and I mean, again, the reason I love ambient so much is there aren't really any rules, and the rules are just has to kind of sound and let someone be like, yeah, that sounds ambient, you know, and if it either does or it doesn't. And I think intensity and beats maybe throw you off of that, but even then you can have a little bit of that. And I think there's a lot of artists making this kind of music, just a lot of them are really introverted, and we're trying to bring them out into the world to meet each other, to see each other, to perform for each other, and that's been a big really great opportunity lately to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome what you're doing.
Thank you.
This is some okay because you're doing improvisations this session. I asked this question to my last audience guest, which was another Toronto based artist, Alex Fournier, and he had his trio with us. So my question again for you is, what fascinates you about improvisation?
I think it's the imperfection. I always talk about how I'm anti-perfectionist. I always kind of have been with a lot of different things. Don't ever ask me to build something because it's going to be crooked. But I think, you know, I listen to some modern, you know, popular music, and some of it I'm like, yeah, that was a great groove, great beat, I love it. But I'm like, it sounds so perfect. It sounds so precise. It sounds so clinical. And the thing about improvisation is, you know, you can be in perfect sync with someone, and there's still going to be a bit of dissonance. There's still going to be something off. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. You know, in my music, you know, I try not to obviously hit the wrong note where you have a flub sound or something, but sometimes, like, a weird noise shows up. You're like, I like that one. That's good. And it's that, I think in improvisation, those kinds of things happen, those conversations between instruments, or the use of silence. And I think there's a lot of power in improvisation in that context. And as someone who is not classically trained, who cannot read music at all, it feels like there's less at stake. If someone were to put sheet music in front of me, I'd be like, those are some nice notes. Every good boy deserves... Okay, that's a D. So I'm going to play a D. And I know where it all is here. You know, I know the guitar pretty well. Mm. I know basic theory. I know those concepts. But as not someone who can almost like solo, quite frankly, mm-hmm. improvisation gives you more flexibility to play around the solo, to avoid the solo, to keep it simple, to keep it quiet. And I love that.
Yeah, there is. I do like that improvisation is almost gives out a human quality.
Absolutely.
Like, rather than the preciseness, like, because I am a complete perfectionist, so that's why I've loved to embrace improv in the last couple of years, because otherwise, like, it's, or it's changed my life, actually. Another thing that changed my life.
And I think it works both ways. So for me as an anti-perfectionist and for you as a perfectionist, it's like you meet in the middle. And I think in an era where AI or kind of generative music, where you can just turn a computer on, tell it what to do, and it makes you an album, I think improvisation requires humans. Mm. It requires humanity. And I think there's something beautiful about that and essential about that, that we need humanity to make mistakes. We need it to be, oops, I dropped my trumpet mute. It made a large clang. Let's play with that. Right. Like, you can't, AI will never drop the trumpet mute. You know what I mean? So I think we need that freedom.
Okay. I totally agree with you on that. Is there any like composed elements in your music?
Oh yeah, there's tons. Like, I think, you know, I'm not just hitting notes. I'm thinking of a key. I'm thinking of a chord variation. Sometimes I will do everything and it's literally just within one chord. So like an E major chord, and I'm just playing notes from that major scale and just really making that wall of sound. And I'm sure in one of my improvisations, I might demonstrate that, where it's really like an intense wall of sound with some slight deviation. Mm-hmm. And then there's other times where I will have, like in my previous one that I did, I kind of added four chords in and they kind of flowed. And you could hear those chord changes, and that kind of gives it movement. And the big mm-hmm. thing for me in my improvisation is, you know, if I'm solo improvising, I don't want to bore myself. I'm like, so if I'm making that wall of like an E major chord with lots of noise, that works for about a minute. And then I'm like, okay, let's fade that out and bring something else in. But if it's like with others, maybe that needs to be 10 minutes because they're doing something with it. So really figuring out what the improvisation needs.
Yeah. I guess it's interesting how it depends on the person. If they want to keep set on a certain idea and sound, or just keep it going.
I think you can kind of do a little of both. And it's, you know, the other person had this idea of keeping it going with this wildness. You're like, no, I want to make it quiet. And it's like this implicit conversation. Mm-hmm. And often you're so, you know, you're so busy. You're not like, are you looking? And like, what does my look mean? I'm like, you know, rarely get death stares. Most people are like, yeah. You know what I mean? And so you're building on that, seeing where you both or all end up going.
Oh, yeah. It does certainly change when it becomes a group improvisation.
Yeah, even with more than one person, right? More than one brain.
Yeah, like I'm just recalling now, I got to play some performances with my friends and their band is called Turtle Pleasure. And it's all completely improvised music with some composed elements. Or like, I know a couple pieces they had like a soundscape, electronic soundscape recorded, and then we would improvise on top of that. But I've been taught improvisation to be able to connect and look at the other players to see any reactions and stuff like that. And I think, yeah, it's just the best way of connecting with other musicians like that.
Yeah, and I've had a few opportunities to do so, and I think it's, you know, I'm looking forward to more because I think it's really exciting. It's a new way, and I think as a listener of improvised music, I'm starting because I've now played it, I'm more interested in listening to the others to be like, I remember my experience in this, and that's so different what they're doing. Yeah. Well, next time I might do this, you know.
Oh yeah, like yeah, catching new ideas from others.
Yeah.
I guess speaking of improvs, why don't I allow you to do another one for us?
Yeah, so you know what I might do is I might do two short pieces. And the first one, I am going to build a nice wall of E major. And you're going to hear a lot of tones. I am going to intentionally